cash, every movie costs $2,184.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Backtracks Theme Music. My name is Corey Morissette, joined as always by John Mariano. How are you doing, John?
Oh, I have no clue.
Really? No clue. The Brent Butt film, Canadian film, starring Corner Gas's Brent Butt. Is that what we're doing tonight?
Is it? I don't know. I'm not very good at mysteries.
I see. Well, I tell you, the day we're recording this, it's the 48th anniversary of the film Jaws. So we're going to do a film that really reminds me a lot of Jaws, and that's 1985's Clue. That's right. The movie based on the board game. You know, movies based on you know, toys and games, they're all the rage nowadays. We're going all the way back to 1985, and a whodunit with one of the more impressive casts you're ever going to find from that era.
Yeah, one of my favorite ensemble casts of all time. I love these kind of movies, too, because as much as it's a movie, it feels like a play. You know, it's very dialogue driven. And the action is very slapstick and very big and broad. And I feel like I'm watching a stage show. And the cast is, like, it stands up. Like, when was the last time you saw Clue?
We watched it a couple of months ago.
I watched it last weekend. And let me tell you, like, Christopher Lloyd, Colleen Camp, Tim Curry, Martin Mull, like everybody top to bottom in this cast, right? I know I'm leaving tons of people out, but we'll talk about them all as we talk about the movie. It's a comedic murder mystery. It's based on the board game. You know, they talk about how hard it is to make a video game movie. This movie predates video game movies, but I don't know how much. If we got a Hungry Hungry Hippos movie in this type of feel, I would be out of my mind. But we got a Clue movie, and my Lord, Corey, like, you know, it instantly runs Clue into one of my favorite board games, and I hate playing Clue.
I love playing Office Clue because we're all big fans of The Office. In my family, we got The Office Clue. Who murdered Toby is kind of the big whodunit in that one. So it's a heck of a lot of fun. I was kind of doing some research on the development of this film. It was conceived by John Landis. He came up with the multiple ending concept, but I guess initially he invited three specific people to contribute to the screenplay: Tom Stoppard, the playwright, composer Stephen Sondheim, and actor Anthony Perkins. That's kind of an eclectic group.
Yeah, and Anthony Perkins of you know, Norman Bates fame.
Mm-hmm. That's right. The one thing that Clue has going for it is the multiple endings, because, of course, the board game could end any old way. Back in 85, they shot three endings. Well, technically, they shot four, and we'll talk about that. But three were finished and sent to theaters. And you did know which ending you were going to get. Eventually, as the run went on, they would print, back then, kids, to get showtimes, you had to look not on the internet, but in a newspaper. And they would tell you if it was ending A, B, or C. So you know which ending you were going to see. But for a long time, you just kind of showed up and didn't know. On the DVD and the VHS and everything else, they would put all three endings on there. But I thought that was always a really neat concept.
Yeah, and it was what kept my parents from taking me to the theater, because it wasn't a complete theater experience. And, like, I would have loved to have seen this in the theater, experiencing it a different way each time. I enjoy the endings as I've seen them on home video and now on streaming. But I wish I could have experienced it. Did you get a chance to experience it in the theater?
I did not. No, I saw it on VHS the first time. Right. And I was very happy that it had all three, because I wanted to make sure I saw all three. Because ending A, I don't know if we want to spoil anything, but endings A, B, and C had different characters. Ending D was actually Tim Curry's character, the fourth unseen ending. He ends up poisoning everybody and killing them and trying to escape. So, and unfortunately, that one hasn't seen the light of day.
And what's funny about that is Tim Curry very famously plays Wadsworth, the butler. Or in some endings, maybe not, in at least one ending. But Wadsworth, the butler, who's not actually a character in the game, but is really kind of our lens into it. And Tim Curry's manic energy doing the ending and walking us through each murder, the way he does, is the stuff of comedic legend, right? Like, it is one of the greatest performances I've ever seen on the screen. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, if you haven't watched Clue, the reason to watch Clue, if nothing else, is to get to the reveal as they start walking you through the murders. Tim Curry's Wadsworth walks you through the events of the entire movie at hyperspeed, right? In a very comedic way, and tries to show you how the murders could have been committed.
Do you know who the other choice for Wadsworth was for director Jonathan Lynn?
At that time?
Think British and maybe Hyperspeed again, and it might come to you.
British and Hyperspeed. Because I was on Michael Caine, but Hyperspeed kind of took that away.
Yes, yeah, not Michael Caine.
He's quite the opposite of Hyperspeed.
Yes. Well, the original choice was Leonard Rossiter, but he died right before filming started. But the second choice was Rowan Atkinson, best known as Mr. Bean.
And while I appreciate and love Rowan Atkinson, and he's a great slapstick performer, I think that Tim Curry brings a gravitas to this that, with all due respect to Mr. Atkinson, because I adore his work and I adore the character of Mr. Bean and even a lot of his other work, I think there's a gravitas with Tim Curry that you get that I don't know that it can be matched.
He has this air of desperation about him as he's running through the mansion that works really well for that character. But speaking of the cast, holy cow, let's run through them here. Eileen Brennan, Tim Curry, as we mentioned, Madeline Kahn, Christopher Lloyd, Michael McKean, Martin Mull, Leslie Ann Warren, and Colleen Camp are the main cast of this film.
It is a who's who of character actors. And if you don't know who some of these names are, I promise you, you know the faces. Mm-hmm. And about the only face that you don't know, and it's great, and he does such a great job, is Mr. Body with two D's.
Mr. You know who Body. Played Mr. Body? We've done a movie of his before. Lee Ving. You remember the movie we did of Lee Ving?
Which Lee Ving movie did we do?
Streets of Fire. He was one he's one of the greasers.
He's one of the greasers in Streets of Fire, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
He's better in this movie.
I didn't have to do much in this one. He's pretty much just dead the whole time.
Well, you say he didn't have to do much, but he comes across as the tough guy, blackmailer type with his presence and how he goes about it. And he has this look about him, like just his actual look, his face and everything else. He feels like the generic Body that you find in the game, yeah. Right? Like, oh, if I didn't have a picture of what Mr. Body looks like, or the Body as it's called in the game, but there it is, right? And then you eventually open the envelope and you find out it was Mrs. Peacock with the lead pipe in the champagne room. I don't know what the rooms are.
Well, not the champagne room, but you were close. Maybe that's in an update of the game, but there's a couple of good cameos in this one too. Jane Wideland, for all you music fans, a guitar player from the Go-Go's, she plays the singing telegram girl who pretty much knocks on the door, says, "I am your singing telegram, get shot." So that was kind of a fun cameo. And Howard Hessman, who everyone will know as Dr. Johnny Fever from WKRP in Cincinnati, plays the chief of police.
I tell you, you know who else Howard Hessman is? And it's another franchise we're going to need to do at some point.
What's that?
He is Commandant Lassard's brother. In Police Academy too.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yep. He's also in This is Spinal Tap.
Yeah, he is. He was also the teacher and head of the class.
That's right.
Howard Hessman was one of my favorites growing up. I don't know both, but I used to love when Howard Hessman would show up because I was such a Dr. Johnny Fever fan. And then when Dr. Johnny Fever was teaching school, like advanced AP, whatever, in that head of the class show, I was like, this is the coolest. He's the coolest teacher ever. Because as far as I was concerned, it was one and the same character. but he shows up as, he's doing door-to-door, like, have you found Jesus or something like that in this movie. Mm-hmm. And he's really like the FBI, and that's not really a reveal. I'm not spoiling anything, because who he busts, as Corey said, changes upon the ending, right? So what I love is, I feel like to a degree, Wayne's World cribbed this ending. You know, other movies have cribbed this ending. This is the first time I remember this ending, though.
Yeah, I had fonder memories of Clue before I actually watched it again. I don't know if it held up for me as well as it did compared to films like Knives Out or some of the other kind of whodunits we have nowadays. It's still enjoyable, though.
Well, that's an unfair comparison, because we've had so much time and distance from Knives Out to back when we did Clue. For me, I think you're right. I think overall the movie was a lot slower paced. But I'm an absolute mark for the ending, right? Like the last 10, 15 minutes of the movie to me are just pure perfection, pure joy, pure happiness. And I adore it.
Yeah, I do too. And like, I'm just kind of waiting. You kind of slog through the middle to get to the endings. And I was kind of going back and looking at the Siskel and Ebert reviews of Clue, and Gene Siskel said Clue is a movie that needs three different middles rather than three different endings.
No, and that's a fair criticism, because you have the opening and you get introduced to the characters and that's interesting. You have the ending and you find out about the murders, and you need the middle to happen to set up the ending, right? Not just to set up the ending, like to get there, but the brilliance of the ending and walking you through the entire movie. Like, it needs to be this meticulous thing. But I think there's a more interesting way to get there. And I think films like Knives Out have figured that out.
Mm-hmm. Roger Ebert said ending A was his favorite, while ending C was his least favorite. Did you have a favorite of the three?
I actually like ending C. I'm a little surprised by that. I feel like, to a degree, ending C has a one part cop out to it, but I like part of the choices made in that. I'm not crazy about the other two. I just enjoy them less, because I think ending C gives my personal favorite actor and characters time to shine, and that's a reveal if you've seen the movie.
Yes, absolutely. And that also, ending C had the best ending line of them all, where Mr. Green declared, "Okay, Chief, take him away. I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife."
Yeah. And it's funnier to me now, because I like to break the fourth wall in my head. And Michael McKean's wife is another O'Toole, and they were both on Smallville together. So in my warped mind, Perry White's going home to sleep with Martha Kent or Lana Lang, depending on which reality you're in.
She'll always be Lana Lang to me, so I would go with that one. All right, we should talk about the song you picked, John, because there's really only two songs in Clue. One of them is Bill Haley and His Comets, Shake, Rattle, and Roll. I imagine we might be doing another Bill Haley song at some point if we ever cover the movie American Graffiti. So I was cool that you wanted to go more with the song Shaboom, from 1954, from the band The Chords, which is a band I know nothing about. This is not normally a song we cover on this show, but, you know, Shaboom's a classic.
And what's funny is, like, when I watch this movie and they play this song, you hear the song a lot on the record player in the movie. And I associate it with the movie a lot, but it's very catchy, right? Because of the way that the song is used in the movie, this could be a very annoying song very quickly, and it plays well. Like, it's listenable. It's happy. To pull the curtain back a little bit, we needed to do a truncated show tonight that was a little bit shorter, but we wanted to get something in. And I'm like, you know what? It's probably a good night to do a song like Shaboom. I actually thought Corey was going to balk at it, because it's not our normal style of song. And Corey was as excited as I was. Neither one of us know dick about the Chords, right? Like, Corey's going to fill in some information, because he's a brilliant producer and he can pull information out of his ass. But neither one of us are avid listeners of the Chords. That's a spoiler. But if you've seen this movie, it's a very catchy song. And of the two songs, I think it was more relevant to the movie.
100%. I think Shake, Round, Roll just played over the opening credits. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And full disclosure, too, Scott Haskin is going to pop in here anytime because we're supposed to record the Aerosmith show tonight. So if he just pops in and starts talking, folks, that's Scott Haskin. Maybe he'll tell us what he thinks of Shaboom. But what do you say? Let's get all the way back to 1954 and the film Clue. This is Shaboom by The Chords.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Shaboom. Life could be a dream. Shaboom. If I could take you up in paradise up above. Shaboom. If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love. Life could be a dream. Sweetheart, hello.
There is something about doo-wop that makes you smile, isn't there?
Yeah, it's just, it is a happy, effervescent song. And it's upbeat. And it's a toe-tapper. And it holds up after all these years. Like, you're talking... You know, what was the song? 1950s?
1960s?
1954. Right. So 54, let's call it 53 just for argument's sake. So that's 70 years ago?
Yeah.
Right? And I'm only making it, a year earlier because I don't feel like doing math. But had I not done math, I would have said 69 years and I could have had a perfect joke.
I know.
Squashed myself. What a botch on my part, Corey.
Oh, John, you're slipping. You better get your shit together before we do the Aerosmith show.
Hello again, Shaboom, and open with me again, boom. Ding dong, ding dong, a lang, a lang, a lang. Oh, whoa, whoa, pip, a bib, a rob, a dib. Oh, life could be a dream. If only all my precious plans would come true. If you would let me spend my whole life loving you, life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Every time I look at you.
That's always the guy I wanted to be in a doo-wop group, the bass guy.
Every time I look at you.
I think I could pull that off. I wanted to be the Bowser of Sean Anna, if you will.
Yeah. No, this guy's voice is velvet, man. And it's a testament to the song because could you imagine trying to write this thing, right? Like, there's not a ton of lyrics to it. And most of it is just making sounds with your voice. And... Like, God, the creativity involved in this, because they're not depending, like, on what songs we listen to with, like, electric guitars and drums and bass and like, the standard instruments we know of today. We don't have any of that going on. It is their voices carrying the song.
That's right. That's the magic of doo-wop, my friend. That's what makes you all happy and singing about shalang-a-lang-a-langs and things like that. Magic stuff.
Sounding in the
Shaboom, if I could take you up in paradise up above. Shaboom, and tell me, darling, I'm the only one that you love. Life could be a dream. Sweetheart, hello, hello again. Shaboom, and hope we'll meet again. Boom, boom. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-
puzzled by what I'm hearing.
Welcome to an impromptu edition of Backtracks Theme Music. We're recovering the song Shaboom by the Chords from the film Clue.
Oh, I was going to suggest Roadhouse, but it was a different version that they played. I think it was the original version they played in Roadhouse.
Ah, now you're a music historian. Tell us about the Chords. Give us the entire band history from 1951 on.
Or wait, because it's Corey's show and it's my show.
That's right.
So you can answer one of these questions and we'll know who your favorite is based on your answer. So you can ask Corey, answer Corey's question about the entire history of the Chords.
Uh-huh.
Or you can answer my question on who is your favorite character from Clue.
Well, let's see. The race car was Monopoly.
Correct.
If we're talking about the movie, I'm going to go with Yvette. If we're talking about the board game, I'm going to go with Professor Plum. That was who I always played.
So you're between Colleen Camp and Christopher Lloyd, and that's
man, I would like to be between. I would like to be between Colleen Camp and Christopher Lloyd. Let me tell you,
it's not a bad position to be in.
Corey, I showed my hand earlier with Mr. Green. Who is your favorite character in Clue?
Well, if you're saying the movie, I'm going to say Yvette again, because my God, Colleen Camp, I had a huge crush on her.
We all did. We get it. Colleen Camp, beautiful, beautiful woman. Outstanding performance in this movie. Mm-hmm. Outstanding with her accent and the comedic timing and everything. Okay? Is that your final answer?
No, when I play the game, I'm Mr. Green. I'm Michael McKean, the closeted homosexual / State Department employee.
Art imitates life.
And one time undercover FBI agent, if by one of the endings. So how about you, John? Who's your favorite character from Clue?
So I my favorite character is probably Mr. Green, because I'm a huge Michael McKean fan. Like, just, and that's nothing against, like, I'm also a huge Christopher Lloyd fan. Mm-hmm. Right. But Michael McKean's performance in this is John Ritter-esque, is the best way for me to describe it. From my standpoint, that's very high praise, because he's one of the greatest slapstick comedians of our time. And Michael McKean, with taking shot after shot, slap in the face, falling down all over the place, and playing Mr. Green the way he plays Mr. Green. And then as the endings are revealed and we get to ending C, and to see that change in him during that ending is remarkable. It's so hard, because I love this cast. My second choice would be Tim Curry. Because Tim Curry in anything, but Tim Curry in this, and again, it goes back to the endings, you know, and this is a knock on Colleen Camp. By the time we get to the ending, spoiler alert, she's not around anymore. Right. And that's unfortunate. She does tremendous heavy lifting in what I think are some of the, slower parts of the movie. I think that reasons to watch, and it has nothing to do with the way Colleen Camp looks. Colleen Camp's comedic timing in this movie, she does an incredible job carrying this movie through what I think, who was it, Siskel or Ebert called it, what, like, the slower part of the movie, Corey?
That was Siskel. But I have to correct you on one thing. I believe it was her bustier that did most of the heavy lifting. Ooh. Heyo!
Look at you! Look at you go with the sexism on the show.
I'm telling you, we take 1 week off, and this is what happens, folks. But to John's earlier game, let's play Who's Your Favorite Member of the Chords? I'm going to go with William Ricky Edwards. He was the bass in the group, and we just heard him a little while ago. Scott, who is your favorite member of the Chords?
I don't think I even know who the Chords are. I don't know this version of this song, actually.
Why are you here? Just go
I
away,
logged bit. In when I was supposed to.
John, who's your favorite member of the Chords? Was it Carl Pfister, the lead, Claude Pfister, the baritone, Jimmy Keys, the first tenor, or Floyd Buddy McCrae, second tenor?
Oh, I love Jimmy Key. Jimmy Key's the reason why the Yankees started to turn around in the 90s. When they
My favorite pitcher of all time. Favorite pitcher of all time is Jimmy Key. One of the best left-handed pitchers ever. And they didn't trade for him from the Blue Jays. He signed as a free agent after the Blue Jays won the World Series.
It doesn't matter. We got him. You didn't.
I wear number 22 to this day. For Jimmy Key, favorite baseball player of all time. Loved him.
Phenomenal pitcher.
Yep. What a sax solo. Scott Haskins, you're from Detroit. A little doo-wop must cure your soul, don't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there was a lot of jazz clubs and stuff in Detroit. I do love a good sax solo, even though it's not my favorite instrument. If the solo is done well, it can really enhance a song. And I like especially the recording of that. It's a little bit loud in the mix, but I like how rough and raw it sounds instead of, you know, nice and polished. It brings out a different intensity.
Pretty good production quality for 1951, wouldn't you say? Or 1954?
Absolutely.
Johnny, you love a good sax solo, don't you?
I actually do. My cartoon character that I created many, many years ago, I wanted to make him, give him an instrument. At first I gave him a guitar, and I felt like guitars are kind of overdone. So I made him a sax player. And I had made him a sax player because I'm a huge Lethal Weapon fan. Movies that we have to do on the show at some point.
Yes.
But you know, if you know anything about Lethal Weapon, it is we do transitions via sax.
And Canadian, the supergroup Honeymoon Suite, did the title track from the first film for some reason. I want to play a little game here with you guys. In 2004, Shaboom was ranked on Rolling Stone's list of the top 500 best songs of all time. We're not even going to go Price is Right rules. Who's going to get closer? That's what I want to know. Scott Huskin, where do you think Shaboom ranked on the top 500 best songs of all time?
499th.
499. All right, Johnny.
250.
Johnny, definitely closer. It's 215.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I figured it'd be somewhere near the middle.
Yeah, good call. You were right there. You would have won both showcases, my friend.
Yeah. Quiz for Corey, what are all the songs that it beat?
Imagine, Bohemian. No, I feel like I'm going to be here a long time.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, I guarantee you that's on the list ahead of Shaboom, but we only
sure
got like...
Is, yeah.
We only got like, you know, under a minute left to go. Let's finish off Shaboom here.
Life would be a dream. Shaboom, if I could take you up in paradise up above. Shaboom, and tell me, darling, I'm the only one that you love. Life could be a dream. Sweetheart, hello, hello again. Shaboom, and hope we meet again. Boom, boom, boom. Ding dong, ding ding dong. Shalang, la, lang, la, lang, la, lang, la, oh, oh. Oh, life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Do, 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 Shaboom.
All right, that's Shaboom by The Chords, 1954. From the film Clue, which we talked about the movie at length here, there's going to be a remake. They've been talking about this going all the way back to 2011. Gore Verbinski from Pirates of the Caribbean fame is going to produce and direct at one point. Currently, I believe Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, who wrote Deadpool, worked on a script. Ryan Reynolds was supposed to star in it. Jason Bateman was in talks at one point. I believe James Bobin right now is in talks to direct with Oren Uziel as the writer. John, are you excited about a remake of Clue?
No. No, leave all of us alone, because I love this cast, and no offense to Ryan Reynolds or anybody else who's going to be involved. But they don't make movies the way they used to. And go back and watch the original and just enjoy the original for what it is.
You're not going to find anybody as good as Mike McKeon or Madeline Kahn or Eileen Brennan or...
No. And where you really lost me is they're going to rewrite it. Now, if you're going to rewrite parts of the middle, okay. But it's very hard to improve on the endings of this movie. It just is.
I know. And they're not even talking about doing it in a house. They called it a worldwide mystery with action adventure elements to create a franchise out of it.
Have you played the game?
Yeah, the game's in a house. I get you.
Okay.
They haven't, apparently. Yeah.
can we leave before I get very angry?
Okay. John is getting very angry. Scott, would you be interested in a remake of the film Clue?
I would be interested in a new version of it, but not a remake, because I don't think it's kind of like a Cannonball Run. You had such a great cast. Who are you going to cast to replace Tim Curry? It's going to be, I'm the person who tried to replace Tim Curry. I think Ryan Reynolds would be a good choice, but if you're going to redo the movie, do something completely different. I don't want multiple endings. I don't want anything that resembles the original movie. But I'm kind of mystified by the end of this song, because like I said, I don't think I've ever heard this version. Even the version that they played in Roadhouse that the character was singing along to was slower. So I don't think it's the same version. But I really kind of felt like they were screaming those last lyrics at me. It felt like all of a sudden very aggressive, like the sax solo really keyed them up. And they're like, I have to tell you everything.
It was 1950s. That's how they did things. You should know. You were alive back then, for crying out loud.
I'm going to give you my call for Wadsworth. And it's not Ryan Reynolds. If you're going to remake this movie and you want to remake this movie right, you need a theatrical actor. You need a good character actor. And I'm not taking away from Ryan Reynolds. But I would go with something more like a Daniel Radcliffe.
Really?
Yeah. I would. Daniel Radcliffe has done a lot of offbeat characters. His career trajectory right now feels very Tim Curry-esque. His post-Harry Potter work, especially. He does a lot of these quirky characters. He's always good in the things he does. He's very good at doing over-the-top. He's done broad humor. He did that Two Guns, where the guns were stuck to him. He did that farting dead man movie where mm-hmm. he was a body the entire time being thrown around. He's very good at the broad slapstick work, and he's very theatrical. And I think that's kind of my call. If we're remaking this movie and we're going to be serious about it, that's the route I want to go.
He would be very good. I keep going back to Tim Curry's still alive. So is Rowan Atkinson. Get one of those.
Well, I think though you don't have to have that character at all. If you're gonna go with a complete remake or a complete just new concept for Clue, you wouldn't have to have, you know, you wouldn't have to have a Tim Curry. You could have whoever you wanted because they might not be a part of this story. You would obviously have to have all Clue characters. But since I joined the show late, I'm wondering, do you guys know if there was a backstory to the board game Clue? Or because I don't remember even having an instruction manual. I just remember the game itself. But was there like a book or backstory to the game?
Well, there were instructions. Again, every game came with instructions. You just skipped them.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't remember instructions in our copy of the game. But was there like anything backstory?
No, but the game stems from a long time ago. They used to play like murder mysteries in like bars and parlors and stuff. And that was a very popular thing to do. And it was meant to bring that in an organized board game fashion to the masses.
Yeah, it was actually developed in World War II by a fellow by the name of Anthony Pratt, an English musician and factory worker. Who recalled enjoying murder mystery games played by some of his clients at private music gigs. And he conceived of back then it was called Cluedo.
Ooh.
Before they shortened it to Clue, back in 1943, I believe.
Cluedo?
Yeah.
Like D-O-U-G-H?
No, like a clue, D-O.
So it's so French? Cluedo.
Cluedo, sure. There's not two Cluedo. O's, but okay.
D-O is do.
Can be, yeah.
No, it is.
It can be.
Okay, you don't say D-O, do. You say D-O, do.
What about Miyagi-Do?
Well, yeah, but that's a whole word.
So is Cluedo.
No.
It's not hyphenated, it's one word.
You're Cluedo.
I mean, you could be wrong and you could be John. Okay, your version from Roadhouse, Scott Haskin, was actually came from a Canadian group called the Crew Cuts.
That's it.
Yeah, that was it, right? By the way, if we ever do Roadhouse, we're not doing Shaboom. We're doing something by Jeff Healy. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. If probably we Confidence ever do Roadhouse, Roadhouse feels like it's going to be one of these very special episodes, right? Where we might have to do like six episodes in a row just to cover Roadhouse.
Oh, please. Jeff Healy is such a Canadian legend and hero. Like, we got it. Can we do that on like Canada Day?
Yeah.
July 1st this year. Let's do Roadhouse and let's do like Confidence Man by the Jeff Healy Band.
I have to say, I'm kind of surprised to hear you say if we do Roadhouse. I thought you were going to say if we do Roadhouse 2. But if we do Roadhouse is not something I would have thought would come out of your mouth. I thought for sure that would be on your list somewhere.
We also would never say if we do Roadhouse 2, so don't worry about that.
I forgot there was a Roadhouse 2. Wasn't Jonathan Skaich in that?
I think so, and they're talking about rebooting Roadhouse also. They're just talking about rebooting everything at this point. The one that I'm most afraid of is Big Trouble in Little China, starring The Rock as Jack Burton.
The Rock is box office poison right now, so I don't know if he's going to be getting anything good for a while.
The Rock has one thing going for him in that they're going to argue that he was a DC property and DC's box office poison right now. But that's a story for another show.
Yeah, even though every decision he made was the wrong one and he burnt every bridge at Warner Brothers. But we'll talk about that when we talk about Black Adam. But until then, on behalf of John Mariano and our surprise intruder, Scott Haskin, my name is Corey Morissette. Thank you very much for listening. And we'll see you next time on Backtracks Theme Music.
Anybody else want a whiskey?
Yeah.
All right, look, pay attention, everybody. Wadsworth, am I right in thinking there is nobody else in this house?
No.
Then there is someone else in this house.
No, sorry, I said no meaning yes.
No meaning yes? Look, I want a straight answer. Is there someone else or isn't there, yes or no?
No.
No, there is or no, there isn't?
Yes.
Please! Don't you think we should get that man out of the house before he finds out what's been going on here?
Yeah.
How can we throw him outside in this weather?
We let him stay in the house, he may get suspicious.
If we throw him out, he may get even more suspicious. If I were him, I'd be suspicious already.
Oh, who cares? That guy doesn't matter. Let him stay locked up for another half an hour. The police will be here by then, and there are two dead bodies in the study.
Shh. Well, there is still some confusion as to whether or not there's anybody else in this house.
I told you there isn't.
There isn't any confusion, or there isn't anybody else.
Either. Or both.
Just give me a clear answer.
Certainly. What was the question?
Is there anybody else in the house?
No!